Well, let's turn our Bibles to the book of James, if you would, the book of James. And I'm going to trust God to help us tonight. Thank you once again for being here. I do appreciate what I have felt in this service. Yes, just have felt the presence of God. Nothing like being in the presence of the Lord, is it? Amen. God is so good, and appreciate all that He's doing for us. I want to just share a simple message with you tonight. I don't even know how lengthy this will be. I know some of you are like, yeah, right, Brother Derek, you've said that before. But really, just kind of have some thoughts. Just want to kind of, this kind of was birthed out of prayer this week. And it is just kind of amazing because I'm kind of living this right now. I'm preaching tonight on Lord willing. Lord willing. I was praying this week. I kind of was working on getting everything packed and straight. Originally, I was supposed to go to Haiti a little bit later. All of this stuff kind of within the last month kind of all had to change around and come together. The communication sometimes is not what it should be. You know, you send an email and 3 days later you'll send another email back. Well, originally we had some dates to go to Haiti, and Pastor Augustine sent me an email one day, said, look, I'll be in America on these dates. And I looked at those dates, and that's the dates I was supposed to be in Haiti. And I said, well, I ain't going to be there if you ain't there. You know, that's my thinking. I'm not going for vacation or anything. But nevertheless, it changed and was working, getting everything together, the flights, the packing. And I was praying this week. And I found myself kind of listing out, you know, where I was going, what I was doing, when I would get back, how all the stuff I got to catch up on, and was trying to get everything squared away so I could leave, some stuff with school, stuff with the church, and, you know, with my family. And all of a sudden, I was sitting there, and I said, Lord, I'm planning all this out. And I hadn't even said, I was just thinking of the book of James, hadn't even put a Lord willing at the end of it. Amen. Lord willing, I'll go. Lord willing, this is going to happen. In times in life, we feel like we have it all figured out, and we just don't. Amen. Life is so uncertain. Things change. And right now, I looked down a moment ago. I have about 10 text messages, several missed phone calls. So the other day was, I'm going to Haiti. Now I don't know if I'm going to Haiti. Just Lord willing. Amen. Whatever you have in store, God, whatever you want to happen. So that's where this came from. And that's why I say I kind of feel like I'm living this right now. And we're just going to trust God to help us. The book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4. And just going to read a few verses of Scripture to you. These are not new. I mean, when I say new verses, I know none of these verses are new, but some we are more familiar with others. And I think you'll instantly recognize where we are in the Bible when we begin to read this. James chapter 4 and verse 13 says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city or such a country and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. I would say amidst of all of life's distractions, and there are many of them, we need to remember that our lives are very uncertain. We're healthy today, everything's fine today, but it could change tomorrow. We're here today, but something could change tomorrow. Your car works good today, but doesn't mean it's going to work good tomorrow. Understand, life is full of uncertainties, changes, the great unknown, questions. And, of course, if you allow yourself to get overwhelmed by those things, you can become so worrisome and fearful, and that's not the will of God either. But it is important that we remember, when we forget who has established our days, and we begin to, I would say, get frustrated, because if you begin to try to plan things out in your own life and trying to put it all together in your own ability, and you're looking at the future and you're saying, look, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, when in reality you really don't have a lot of clue what's going to happen, what's going to change, and all these things. If you begin to live life based just on your own ability of what you can do and see, it's very easy for you to become frustrated. When our own plans don't work out, have your plans sometimes just didn't work out? I mean, you planned something, you thought it was going to happen this way, you bought the plane ticket, you had it all set up, or whatever it is in your situation, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and all of a sudden it just doesn't work out just like you think it's going to work out. You've got to understand that God knows about our tomorrows and the situations, and sometimes God doesn't allow things or allows things or whatever the case may be, and a lot of times we need to get back to this great principle, Lord willing, this will happen. Instead of fighting against our inability to predict the future, and some people really struggle with that they can't control it all and they can't put it all together and all these things. Instead of fighting against our inability, we must humbly admit that our lives are in the hands of God Almighty. We just don't know that much about tomorrow. There's nothing wrong with planning. I'm not against planning and being reasonable, but even in your plans, make sure you keep God in the picture and realize that if it doesn't turn out the way that you think it should turn out, or if so-and-so doesn't respond the way that you think they should respond, you shouldn't get mad at God and give up and frustrated, because you need to keep in mind that only God knows about tomorrow. I read this and thought it was comical, and I believe you will as well. Some years ago, a Senate subcommittee made the following predictions. Listen to what they said. Men will only be working 22 hours a week, 27 weeks per year, and will retire by the age of 38. That was predicted in 1967 for the future, and they said the year that it was going to happen was in 1985. Now, I think they missed it. I mean, that's just my own, many of you are like, yes, they missed it. That was a Senate subcommittee who was really trying to add up the numbers and crunch the numbers and was looking at the present financial structure of the country, and this was going to happen, not predicting the wars that may come around the corner or the problems that may come ahead or whatever it is. We as humanity, we are limited, because many of you realize that you did not retire at the age of 38 years old, and you worked a lot more than 22 hours a week and a lot more than 27 weeks per year. Amen. It just doesn't happen that way. But if you'd have asked them at that time, this is what they thought. But my, were they wrong. When we look here in the book of James, chapter 4 and verse 13, we get this glimpse of, if you were to study the whole chapter, we are not doing so, but you see that the Lord, through James, is kind of rebuking these different ones in the church who are covetousness. And are they not really, they're kind of being these people that are prideful, covetous, and they care about riches and all themselves. They're being prideful. They have not humbled themselves. But then in verse 13, he kind of deals with them, because obviously there are these business merchants, these men that are saying, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and to get gain. Notice how confident they are about their future. Number one, they've got a time. Notice that they said today or tomorrow. Also notice this, they have a location in such a city. They have a duration. We're going to continue there for a year. They have an occupation. They're going to buy and sell. And even notice their great and wonderful outcome. They're going to get gain. Got it all figured out, right? Has anybody thought they were going to get gain before and they didn't get much? Never forget when I was, I forget the exact age, my father invested $5,000 in some sort of I have a cousin who's always doing something in some sort of market and coming up with new things and jumping on these different bandwagons, and he had all the family worked up. I'm telling you folks, right now we are there. It was something to do with the internet, invest in these stocks, and I remember my dad was a hard working man, working every week making ends meet. He said, Lonnie, I'm telling you, $5,000 will get you in here and you are not going to be sorry that you did. Amen. He pushed that on him. It was a big deal. I remember Dad got that $5,000 out of his retirement, if I'm not mistaken. And that was back in the days of the dial-up internet. You know, you definitely didn't have it on your phone. And I remember Dad would be heading home from work, and he would call us. And he would stop at the payphone and call us. He said, look, I want y'all to hop up there. I want you to see how good this is doing. I want to see if there's a way to kind of graph it out and see what's going on. And I remember one time looking up there, and it was not doing good. $5,000 gone. But what about what what your cousin said. I mean, he's got it all figured out, you know, this, and it's going to explode and all this stuff. Well, that's happened probably, and I know this is being recorded, but anyhow, he probably said that five or six times, and there've been a lot of people that invest in this and that, and it just doesn't work out. Notice this here. He says, I'm going to get gain is what these men thought. But notice what it says in Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. We may have a lot of plans, and once again, nothing wrong with really planning and being careful and being strategic, but I'm telling you, that's not everything. That's only a portion of your life. You better keep God in the picture. Notice what James goes on to say in verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be of tomorrow. We already got tomorrow planned out, don't we? We do. Nothing wrong with having your schedule. That's part of life. You got to have a schedule. It might mess up. It's possible. How many days has somebody went to work and didn't know they're going to get that toothache? How many folks have thought everything would be good and they wake up and they're so sick? How many thought they were going to do this and we're going to go here and we're going to go there, and all of a sudden something changes? That is a part of life. Life is full of changes. James is saying, you know not of tomorrow. You know not what shall be of tomorrow. Tomorrow could change. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Luke chapter 12. Many of your Bibles will even probably cross-reference to this very portion of Scripture there in the book of James. But go to the book of Luke chapter 12. I want to read some verses to you. Luke chapter 12. In verse 16. And just follow along in your Bibles if you would. Luke 12 and 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, notice this, this will I do. Write it in the books. Call up the contractor. Let's build some new barns. That's where he is. Notice this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Notice here how many times he says, I will. I want you to notice that. Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And who shall those things be when thou hast provided? He said, look, you don't even know tonight. This man's talking to himself. Look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to rip these barns down. We're going to build bigger ones. And the whole time the Lord is saying, you fool, you don't even understand. Tonight's going to be, this is the end of it. You're going to do all this work. You're going to provide all this. But who's going to take care of it with these things that thou hast provided? This man's not looking to die. I mean, he's got a good bumper crop, right? Everything's good. Everything's fine and dandy. But the Lord is letting him know, you don't know about tomorrow. You don't even know about tonight. Verse 21 tells us about this. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. And I like this phrase right here. And is not rich toward God. Do you want to be rich towards men or rich towards God? Oh. Do you want financial things in this world and just building your barns bigger and having a bumper crop and everything going well? Or would you rather be known as a man or a woman who has great assets in the kingdom of God? Notice here what it says about him being rich towards God. And if you're still there, you can go down to verse 33, and it says, sell that you have and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, and treasures in the heavens that faileth not, whether no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure this evening? Hope it's not in your career. How many knows that's not a very safe place to put? Amen. Hope it's not in the stock market. I mean, thank the Lord for it. I hope it does well. I hope you do well. Thank God for it. I want God's people to be blessed. But if your joy's in that stock market, it don't take but one little thing. I forget, I've only read about this. I don't know much about it, nor do I don't have anything in the stock market. Don't judge me there. But I know I probably should probably maybe one day start working towards something. I'm getting there. Just trying to feed my kids, you know. Put a lot of stock in them. hopefully it'll repay, you know. But you remember during 9/11, and many of you were a lot older than I was in seventh grade, and you remember that big event, you know, that attack. You remember what it did to the stock markets and what it did to the system and how everybody, it just kind of went haywire. That's just one event. It was 1928, the Great Depression, all those things that took place, and how all these men that had everything built in their careers, and here it is, to throwing themselves off buildings, and what a horrible, bleak time in our history. Those things are not what I'm hearkening on, but what I'm trying to tell you is this: if you don't have your faith in the Lord, things can go wrong. If your faith is in money, that may be here but gone tomorrow. We don't know what we're going to be. 50 years ago, if you would have talked to grandparents, or different ones, and I was talking, me and my wife were talking today about my grandfather, how he came up with absolutely nothing. He was a man that never complained, and I mean he never complained. My dad's dad, I remember one time he had a grandma made a steak or something, and he meant to put A1 sauce on it and put Thousand Island dressing on it. And my granddad's over there eating it. And we're like, what is he doing? I said, Granddad, you know, what'd you do? He said, it was an accident. Still eating it. He just never complained. And I always admired his spirit. I mean, everybody else could be frustrated and upset, and he'd just be sitting there kind of like in the middle of the storm, amen. My grandmother definitely isn't like that, amen. She's a lot more boisterous and things like that. But, oh, my granddad was a calm man. But I was telling my wife, I said, he was one of 11 children. They came up with almost anything. So probably a steak with Thousand Island dressing probably sounded pretty good to what he was raised on. But he wasn't worried about tomorrow and these things. And once again, nothing wrong with having a certain sense of planning. But you know not about tomorrow. That's what James is trying to say. He's showing us that uncertainty there. He said, you know not what shall be on tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life is a mist. It is a vapor. It is here today and gone tomorrow. And I know this is something that we must understand, because life is very, very short. I often think about this, and my wife kind of kids with me. She said, man, you can focus on death a little too much there. I live in reality. We've already had a little talk. I said, look, if something happens, you know, this week. She said, don't go there. I said, if something happens this week, be wise. Okay. Make good decisions. And tough to say. I said, you know, I know you're young, sweetie. I said, if the Lord finds you another good young man, and amen, I said, you can get remarried. You know, if God wants you to, if I'm no longer here. And I said, he better be a godly man. Amen. That's tough. She still hadn't given me that liberty yet. Vice versa. We often joke around about it. But reality is, we just don't know about tomorrow. We're not guaranteed life for another week or month. And we often, and when we talk about it, we laugh about it. Reality is, if something did happen to me or to you, guess what? It would be sad. We would cry. We would have funerals. We would have the whole ceremonies, pay for all this stuff. But reality, in a few years, what's his name? Give it 10 years. Who used to be the pastor up there? You know, that young man that came there at 26 years old and learned a lot. What was his name? I think it was a Jones. You see, that's life. That's how life is. We're here and we're gone. When you see this word there, a vapor, it actually means a mist. And one writer kind of puts it even well, so as an illustration. You go out in the morning and it's real cold and you breathe, and you see that little bit of mist there just for a second, that steam. That's how life is. It's here and it's gone. Life moves on. The world moves on. Time moves on. And yet sometimes we get so caught up in the future and how much we can gain and how much we can do, when in reality we just don't know about tomorrow. Matter of fact, the Bible is not shy about talking about this. 1 Chronicles 29:15, for we are strangers before thee and pilgrims, as we are all fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is no abiding. Brother Derek, be a little more encouraging. Good. Job 7:6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and spent without hope. A little more encouragement. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are as a shadow. A little more encouragement for you. Now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hasteneth to its prey. You ever seen a video of a bird good for an animal? That's fast. Man that is born of a woman is a few days, full of trouble. Job said, we got only got a few days and it's full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower. Oh, how beautiful. Then he's cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Oh, yes. A little more encouragement. Psalms 39, 4 and 5. Lord, make me to know my end and measure my days. Lord, help me to measure my days. What is he saying there? Lord, I realize that I am but a human being. Help me to measure my days. I don't go on for eternity in this flesh. Yes, we can spiritually. Thank God for that blessed hope. And the Old Testament didn't have a lot of evidence. Or you can tell a lot of the writers, when they looked into the future, they knew it was going to be something to do with God and that God would honor the righteous. But in the New Testament, thank the Lord, we know that we do live on forever spiritually. Get reunited with our bodies. These are New Testament things that we know. But guess what? Physically in this world, in the here and now, you're not guaranteed a whole lot. Psalms 130. As for man, his days are as grass. Don't know about yours. Mine ain't real green right now. As a flower of the field. You know, even then, we planted some bushes and stuff here over the summer. There's a few of them that's supposed to be green right now. They don't look too green. We can kill a plant now. For the wind passes over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. What are they saying? Life is short. When you plan your tomorrow, you better keep God in it. You better keep God in it. Verse 15 goes on to say, for that ye ought to say, now he's telling this how you ought to talk. You ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now, Let me go ahead and tell you, this doesn't mean every time you say something, you got to say, Lord willing. This is the position of your heart. This is the position of your planning. And no doubt it's going to come out every now and then because, you know, every now and then I'll say, Lord willing. But I've met some folks and it's fine. I'm not against them saying this. I mean, going to get something to eat, Lord willing. Going to take a bath, Lord willing. Going to go outside, Lord willing. Going to cut grass, Lord willing. You can talk that way, that's fine. But if you don't feel condemned is what I'm trying to say. It's saying, look, this is a position of my heart. You know, Lord willing, my eyes are on the future and what I'm going to do. But I also understand if something changes, I don't have to sit there and act like the world is going to quit and God's not going to be there and I got to quit coming to church. That's what he's saying. You have to keep this posture of your spirit. Acts 18 and 21, you don't have to turn here, but let me share a few verses with you that kind of show us this principle. Acts 18 and 21 says this, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast and cometh into Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. They realized that every service could be their last. Every meeting could be their last. And I could read other verses that have that same concept, but let me just break it down in three ways, just like this. Number one, in these verses, we realize they failed to grasp the complexity of life. They contemplated on too many things going to go right their way, when in life everything just doesn't go right the way that we want it to. I don't preach that form of Christianity. Once you get saved, everything's going to go right. You'll never have to put gas in your car, you know. Never have to get new tires. Wash machines never break down. Wow, what a utopia that is. But in life, things do go wrong. Things break down, and even your body breaks down. You know it's true. What you used to could do, you now can't do. I've often shared this, but now I go to some of these youth meetings, and Brother Derek, do this. Brother Derek, wrestle. I say, I have no desire to wrestle anybody. I don't have no desire. You know, as a teenager, you get out there and you tussle and you're wrestling around and all that stuff. And I look back and I'm like, what are these guys doing? You know, say it doesn't matter. You know, why would I wrestle you? I have no point. You know, we got different goals in life right now. I don't want to have to go to the hospital at all. I hate copays, and I hate procedures. And they're just worried about the next bowl of cereal they're going to get, you know, and all that stuff. It's just, we got different goals in life. Secondly, These people fail to grasp the uncertainties of life. Their statements about what they're going to do. They don't account for death, illness, accident, or injury, and whatever it is. They don't think about this. They just say, we're going to do this. This is going to happen. And lastly, they fail to grasp that life is short. At very best, it is terribly short, one writer said. How could these people know whether or not they're going to make it to that city on tomorrow, if they're going to get gain or not? Life is just too short. Verse 16 shows us, but now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Here is when it's kind of, you know, we're laughing, it's fine, I'm having a good time. But here is when James really kind of tightens down and said, you think it's funny? He's talking to these people that are being arrogant, not us. He's talking to these merchants that really think they got it all figured out. He's saying, your boastings here, as he's talking to these, but now you rejoice in your boastings. They're talking about how smart they are and how clever they are and all that they're going to do and all these good things. He said, you're arrogant, you're boasting, you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a what? Sin. Now, we have to keep the Bible in context. How many knows that's important? I'm not a big fan of hijacking a part of a verse here and a part of a verse there to build a doctrine. I don't like doing that. So here, when James is talking to these wealthy merchants who's planning ahead about their tomorrows and they're going to buy, sell, and get gain, and he's warning them, said, look, you don't know about tomorrow and all these different things. He says, your life is like a vapor, and you ought to say, the Lord willing, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And he tells them that your rejoicing and your boastings are evil. He said, to them that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. He basically, what he's saying here, you know, it's a good thing to keep God in the picture, to live in the fear of the Lord, that tomorrow that we're going to do this if God allows. Basically, you got to keep this focus that everything is by the will of God, that he's in control. But when you live life like he's not in control and he don't know what's going on, to you it is a sin. Is arrogance about your future a sin? You best believe it. If an overabundance about your overabundance of fear about the future, not trusting God, these areas can become sinful to us if we give in to the spirit that we know what's going to happen. If it's positive or negative, this is going to be the outcome. But God says, no, trust me, I have a will for your life, and you'll live life, you'll be a lot happier and a lot more joyful when you put your hands in the hands of God Almighty and know that he has a plan, know that he's in charge of that he's driving the boat, knowing that he's in the, that he's in the midst of the storm. You've got to keep God in the picture. I worry about those who have tasted and seen the goodness of, we even heard tonight as Sister Shelley said, the Lord answered a prayer. Has the Lord ever answered a prayer for you? Has anything ever happened in your life that you didn't expect it to happen that way? More than I can count. And it won't be the last time. Even the future aspirations right here in this room would probably amaze us all. What we got planned. Some of us are planning different things in life. Sister Morgan's about to get married. Lord willing, here one of these days, they're going to tie down that date and go get it figured out. Lord willing. Lord willing. Brother Eddie's going to retire one of these days. Lord willing. The Lord was willing for the Neffs, obviously. But we could go around, and I'm not going to sit here and start calling out names. I'm enjoying this time together. It's fun. Okay, I enjoy it, sharing the word as a family. Lord willing, what is your future aspirations? Me and my wife want to go to Sight and Sound this year sometime, if we ever get a chance to see that whole, is it Jesus this year? And I told my wife, and this is funny, I said, if Jesus carried Peter back to that boat, I'm going to come shake Brother Neff's hand. Say, got it right. We like to go maybe in the fall. Lord willing. Lord willing is what I'm trying to say. That's a simple title, simple message. But as I can say, I'm living this right now because I've got everything packed at the house. About to weigh my suitcase when I get home with a nice little handy thing. 50 pounds, and it better not be a pound more. Take that out. I learned last time, Pastor Augustine's daughter, she lives up the road here. You know, he lives in Haiti. And she said, come by. I got a few things I want you to carry to my parents. And when I got there, it was probably 50 pounds of food. And I told her, I said, I don't have any room for all that. And man, she was tucking peanut butter in this pocket and everything else. And I said, look, we got to untake this out and then, you know, had to figure it out. I had all that planned. And I don't know, I still may end up going. I hadn't read these text messages. You know, hope he ain't saying let's go and be martyrs of the faith or something like that. I'll go if the Lord's willing. But if he's not, I'll be here. God is in control, and thank God for it. Stand to your feet if you would. There's some things in life we know the Lord's willing about regardless, because the Lord's word tells us. Is it his will that we trust him? Oh, yes. Is it his will that we live by his word? Yes. Is it his will that we come to church? Yes. I could go through all these different things. There's some things that we already know about, but also life is uncertain. We have to embrace that and understand it and know that God only knows about the future. Can I just encourage you tonight to keep him in the picture? Don't get so focused on the events and the plans and the situation and whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with planning for the future in the right way. But these merchants were arrogant. We'll do this. We'll go here at this time. We will get gain. No, you don't know that. But if God's in the picture, you always get gain. Even if it doesn't work out the way you want it to. Amen. Find you a place to pray here this evening. Pray about these principles that I just preached to you. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask God to be with you. Lord willing, Lord willing. Lord willing, let your will be done in this service and this altar call. God, touch your people. Touch your people. Lord willing.